True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, when was the last time the C.J. Stroud had a capital letters game?
Yeah.
713-572-4610. And obviously, it's not just did he have a solid game. It's one of those games that, I mean, you know it. We had that feeling on Sunday night. You were watching the Buffalo Bills,
yeah,
one of the best, if not the best teams in all the NFL, go up against the Baltimore Ravens, mm-hmm, one of, if not the best teams in all the NFL. And you had that feeling a number of times.
A game.
With those guys, including Josh Allen, who finishes the game out with that type of performance. Mm-hmm. You go, you know, top to bottom, and you look at this guy and you go, oh, yeah, I see why either they did or we're going to pay that guy. Mm-hmm. And I feel great about it. And Ron the Show Hughley was the one who kind of asked this question. And it got us to, it's one of those things that make you say, huh.
Yeah.
Because you start thinking about it, and it feels like with the criticism that has come from CJ, and it's worth noting, some of it is you know, earned, or some of it is deserved. Some of it is worth asking the questions. But some of it feels a little harsh. However, I wonder if it's because there's a vacuum, or maybe there's a possibility that there's a vacuum of those games that make you go, yeah, no, we're not worried about paying them because of, boom, this right here.
Right.
As a full performance of a game, not even just individual moments. So let's dig into this.
I thought it was a great question. I was sitting here just as he posed that question, trying to go through the games in my mind. And part of the reason that it's relevant is his monster game, the greatest game of his life in the NFL so far, was against Tampa Bay. 39-37 win. We all remember it. 30 out of 42, 71% completion, 470 yards.
Is that good?
5 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. All right?
Sounds good.
That's the one that we all go, okay.
And it's also worth noting, like, mm-hmm, while you do that, Tampa is playing the same defense that they played then. Mm-hmm. It's the same man who was calling the defense in Todd Bowles. And so, like, there's quality there. It's not, we're not talking about a Tampa defense that's just, like, something that you can write off.
Right, but here's where it gets interesting. He followed that up with 2 more badass games. Threw for 356 at the Bengals in one. Threw for 336 against the Cardinals at home and won. And then threw for 304 against Jacksonville in a loss. So he went 470, 356, 336, 304. And we're like, we got one. Since that last game, and that goes back to December 3rd of 2023, he's had 2 more 300-yard passing games. Both of them were in wins last season against Jacksonville and against Buffalo.
Yeah, early on in the season.
Early in the season. All right? Since that, he's averaged, that was week 6, all right? He's had 0 300-yard games, just 2 games over 250 yards, and that's 13 games. He averaged 194 yards passing, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, an 80.9 quarterback rating, 61% completion percentage, and was sacked 41 times. That's a 13-game stretch. So we know what he was in that stretch in 2023 and then, you know, a couple of games last year. What happened? Let's start there. What are your theories? Is it just, Bobby Slowick? Bobby Slowick was the offensive coordinator when he threw for 475 touchdowns and et cetera.
Yeah, I think the popular answer, to be honest, outside of the Bobby and the offensive line and all that stuff, is did the league catch up to him?
I hadn't thought of that possibility. Well, what are your theories?
I think that there's something to be said in that. I think you guys know me well enough at this point to know I hate the did the league catch up to him, because it feels like it's so generic that it doesn't actually get to the root of what we're talking about. However, I do think the league in some ways changed the way that they played him. They showed him love and respect. Remember going into last year, I think we had a conversation at one point where we're like, is CJ going to get the Patrick Mahomes treatment? Not in that he is Patrick Mahomes. I always have to immediately stop there because, buddy, what would we be doing in that instance? But in that, we're just going to take away these deep shots that you like. We're going to play two high safeties, which, of course, the Rams also did in week one. They disguised it a lot, but they're a lot of too high in their coverage. And they're like, we're going to force you to make the right decisions underneath. So you've had that natural progression of, we see you as a talented young guy, and now we're actually going to make it harder on you, and we're going to force you to constantly make the right decision, constantly make the right play, constantly beat us. And then he had the added difficulty of, as you're getting that particular that level up, that additional challenge in your game, you now have a coordinator who is not helping you get answers, and then an offensive line that's not giving you time.
Yeah,
I think that all those things came together to make it abundantly difficult for him to continue to show that same quality over the entirety of a course of a game as compared to his rookie year when teams were treating him like a rookie and teams were feeling out, is he somebody that is deserving of that level of defensive coverage? And obviously, as you mentioned, that Tampa game, that Bengals game, that stretch proved, he is.
The interesting thing, though, the answer to the question, to Show's question, when was his last game? I would have to say it was the Buffalo game, which was October 6th of 2024, damn near a year ago.
So you don't it's because I know a lot next of people one mentioned was, the Chargers game.
Well, yeah.
In the playoffs.
Well, the playoffs for sure. I'm talking about of his regular season.
But even that one, that playoff game, I wasn't coming away like, wow. Like it wasn't like that. I thought he had a solid game.
He was 22 out of 33. 282 yards, one touchdown, one interception. So, which kind of speaks to your point.
It was a good game.
It wasn't, to me,
I think that last wild playoff
sacked
game.
Three times.
Yeah, I felt like that Browns game was a wow. That was kind of like, this is our quarterback right here.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back through my notes to give me a little bit of a feel qualitatively on top of the quantitative portions that you're bringing me. And, I mean, there's things within that Chargers game. Because, obviously, you were in a place where you were rough. It was really rough. And then you get to this late in the second quarter, and now CJ's starting to run the football. And then you get some of the fantastic. But he was finding a little bit of success early with, like, quick passing. But, pressure shows up somewhat for him early. And then, you're dealing with holes and things of that nature. But CJ was solid in that Chargers game. But I don't think it rose to the level of what we're talking about here.
But go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think the season had a lot to do with it, too, because we were all frustrated with the offense and Bobby Slowick and all that stuff. So that one probably didn't hit the same.
So here's the bigger question that's worthy of talking about, and I'm glad Show brought up this question. We're sitting here talking about three different games. Maybe that was his best game. The last time he really had you mentioned that, Cleveland game. I mentioned the Buffalo game last year in the regular season. You mentioned maybe the Chargers or something else.
Did you have any of a feel for the New England game? I know that he had a really bad interception there.
That's the thing. It was the next one after that Buffalo game. And I don't know if I'd categorize that. But again, it speaks to my point. We're saying maybe this, maybe that. We were sitting here going into last season thinking, keep in mind, that four-game stretch, 470, 356, 336, 304, and just, what was it, 10 touchdowns that he threw. We were sitting here going, man, we got one. We got the guy. And now we're like, maybe this one was the best last big game that he had. Maybe that one. So that's why I think the question we should be talking about here is, number one, do you have any theories? And number two, is that the frustration? That's where I went. Is that the frustration? He was dealing. He was the talk of the town, rookie of the year, dominating. Everybody talking about C.J. Stroud. Boy, mentioned with guys like Patrick Mahomes and others. And then all of a sudden, you know, kind of not off a cliff, but certainly back down to earth.
And Go ahead.
I think that he's not off a cliff, but it doesn't feel like it. Because you're right. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have one of those unassailable games, it makes it so that it's a reset of sort. It's a refresh. Mm-hmm. It's putting some air freshener in let's be honest, the stink of a season on that side of the football. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously bringing this down. I still feel that he is that guy, that $60 million guy. But I understand that that's the problem, right, is that you don't have those things you can lean on because he's giving you portions of those games.
Right.
But because of all the things that we've talked about, right, and I do feel like this is part of it that's factored in. Clearly the offensive line, clearly the play calling was too stale, did not help. And then I think you add on to it the ways in which defenses were like, hey, we're making this, we're raising the level of difficulty. Mm-hmm. We're putting this on all Madden, while also now you have some things that are sliding backwards with your team. I think that's made it harder for him to have a full game mm-hmm. where he would have a half of football or he'd have some really great plays, but it just didn't come all together. And I think those are the not being able to put it all together is rough, but I don't know who puts it all together when you have the foundation that was crumbling offensively like it was last year.
Yeah, so right now I got the highlight right here mm-hmm. from that Tampa Bay game last mm-hmm. season when and you could kind of hear it in Mark and Andre's voices, the way they were reacting just to what CJ was doing. And I don't know if y'all want to hear it, but this to me, I felt like this was that moment where Mark didn't say it, but this is you're Houston, you got a quarterback moment right here.
10 seconds to go. CJ gets the snap. CJ looking, throwing to the end zone. Yes! Touchdown!
Yes! Yes!
Takes the lead.
Yes!
Goodell with the reception. Rock and roll. My goodness. There are flags on the field. Could be on the defense. What a comeback.
Go Cougs.
Let's go. Here's the call from Land Clark. Bring us some good news.
After the play, unsportsmanlike conduct, defense number 54, a 15-yard penalty will be enforced on the kickoff.
Yes! Houston gets it done! Are you kidding?
He sounds like he's about to cry right there.
That feels
like
a narcotic.
He might have been, but again, we were all there. And you talk about you still think CJ, you know, is the guy. I've been saying it since the end of last year when he kind of, you know, looked bad. I thought you could argue he had as good a year as he did his rookie year just because of the circumstances. But here's where I think the discussion for me is revolving around this.
Okay.
You know how I feel about psychology and the emotions. And we've seen some frustration from CJ Stroud. Is this sort of self-perpetuating? You know, because he's had some bad games. He didn't like, clearly, now we know, the offensive coordinator and the lack of control of the offense. They come out at L.A., high expectations, and he didn't have a good game again. And there was a little frustration on the sideline for whatever reason. We don't know what it was. But still, is this just C.J. Stroud, you know, the 6 inches between your ears thing? You know, because it's there. It's obviously there, you know?
Yeah. And that right there give you hope. Mm-hmm. Like there's no way in hell I'm bailing on CJ Stroud because of that. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if, you know, was that just a one-time thing or a couple-time thing? Or
no, because we've seen him do little bits of that. Obviously, I can mention
four straight
the Chargers
games.
Game.
That started
I agree with y'all, but we also see a lot of people that had a great rookie year was never the same. You don't want to be caught up in that situation where now you pay him and you'll never get that fix again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But some of this is like you got the roles growing through the concrete, right? Because we've talked about the offensive line. We talked about the coordinator. A great text that comes in is reminding us, who is CJ throwing to in those games? Because you talk about week four, week five. After that, that's about when you start getting the offensive line looking real crazy and you start seeing that fall apart. You're starting seeing Diggs get injured midway through the season. You get Tank Dell. Obviously, that's much later. Tank Dell is week 16. But like you're seeing these things fall away where the things that are there to support him aren't there. And yes, I understand. Once a guy gets paid, that's somewhat how team building has to start going. We see this with Josh Allen out there. Who is he throwing to? Can you name his wide receivers in his in that pass catching core?
Shakir. That's right? It.
Khalil Shakir. Now, you can mention name the tight ends, so, but it's not going to be the wealth of talent that is around. But I think that is still context that is worth
mentioning. But here's the
here.
Thing. There are some very tangible things that you brought up and the texters are bringing up too. Yes, the offensive line. You know, yes, receivers. Yes, Bobby Slowick. But again, you know,
you gotta have that full game.
I'm wondering, yeah, how much is also, yes, CJ Stroud is starting to, that frustration is affecting him, you know?
And then one of the things.
The frustration with all that stuff.
No, for sure. Yeah. I think he wants to be great so bad that that frustration
yes,
is probably.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Because, again, frustration can be on the bad side, clearly. Mm-hmm. We might be seeing that with the Astros with Framber Valdez.
Yeah.
But I think it could be on the good side. And it's one of those things that you don't know until you can get the result mm-hmm. and then look backwards, you know, because hindsight is 20/20. And then you get a feel for what that frustration is. Clearly, there's some of it. Yeah. I tend to believe that that leans to the positive. Now, I know not everybody's there. From the 832 here on the text line, C.J. Stroud is not a good quarterback when it's come to decision-making. Clearly, based on him not understanding pre-snap. And this is one of the things that I was kind of talking about when we were, like, comparing, you know, Tom Brady, his era early in mm-hmm. his career compared to now is pre-snap is becoming smaller and smaller parts of what a quarterback does.
Right.
It's getting more difficult, and we saw that with the Rams. They're disguising things into the game, and now he has to make decisions quicker and quicker. And so even the jump that happened from year one to year two that we were talking mm-hmm. about where defenses are now giving him too high shell, now that he's dealing with some other things internally. I think he's also had a difficulty jump this year as well yeah. that we might have to see him out a little bit. So I understand the people that are asking the question, because it's fair. Mm-hmm. I think we have to see him out a little bit because the difficulty jump goes up when it's like, hey, I need you to get through these progressions really quick. I need you to get the ball out. I need you to handle some more things. And this is where I think that it's fair for some people to say, I don't know that it's inherently a good thing that he has more on his plate, but I think we're going to have to see it out a little bit. Monday night helps us with another data point.
And you just mentioned, I think, the last point I want to make here, because you can sort of write off the bad year last year in terms of, you know, his frustration and everything like we've been talking about. But you go into Monday night, this is a guy that wants it so bad. This is a guy that really has been frustrated and didn't have the game that we thought he should have week one. You get on national TV, the only game in town, and you have another bad game.
They split it up.
Well, of course. But you're still the only game in town for a while.
Yeah.
Until for at least 2.5 hours. That frustration, that's what I'm looking at. Like, he needs a big game now. He needs a big game now, because then that might compound itself.
Yeah, I'm just wondering when are we going to look at and say, maybe is CJ the prop? Because we keep talking about the O-line. Mm-hmm. We talk about receive. We talk about everything else, the coordinators. So I'm wondering, when is it going to get to a point where we might feel like CJ?
Now would be a good time. CJ thing. I think now is a very important time.
Because I think you have, look. The uncomfortable thing, I think, for some people, he's getting that contract, right? Now, whether or not you appreciate it or you like it from the 832, or rather the 713, could CJ just not be the quarterback we think he all is? The uncomfortable thing is, yes, he could. Mm-hmm. How likely is the question? And I do wonder, as we're trying to isolate the variable to find that, does it then become more and more apparent? Again, we have 1 week, overreactions, all that. Does it become more apparent that in order to try and find that and isolate that variable, you should have given him a coordinator that that's another thing that you just added as a variable that's going to make this a little tougher to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with that New England offense type of deal, because I felt like the Shanahan offense was, I thought that was cool. I just feel like it was maybe the wrong messenger for it.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
So we'll see what it looks like. We will see what it looks like, because Monday, obviously it's a prime time game. The roof seems like it'll be open. It's a whiteout. You've got familiar foes in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that you faced a couple years ago. But this is probably the bigger story that you have bubbling underneath this one coming up at 6 p.m. on Monday, and you'll hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions here in Loop on Sports Radio 610.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I hope Carrie Underwood does not hear this.
Uh-oh.
What you think she going to do? She going to come up and fight you?
Well, I was mad at her. I was kind of mad at Carrie. For a while.
Yes, there. I'm listening.
Yeah. She might have been mad at the show last week.
But she'd be mad at me. And that's
talk
fine.
About how we had the TV on mute.
Not me. Not me. I put it on the list. If you hear this, Carrie, that was me that said I put it on the list. But here's I was a little mad because this thing making the rounds yesterday and day before, I think it was late on Tuesday, Carrie Underwood makes $1 million a week for the Sunday Night Football theme.
Because she does make new ones. Like, they're specific
every game.
To the game.
For every game, yeah.
In fact, she records all 17 or whatever it is in one day.
I would hope so. It'd be real uncomfortable to have to go to the studio every week.
Yeah.
So I was a little mad. I was like, man, $18 million, that's a little bit much, right? For that?
It's Carrie Underwood, though.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably much. Get... I'm sure I'm not in her pockets or nothing, but I'm sure she probably get maybe a quarter of a meal for a feature.
I'm glad,
I can see
I'm
that.
Glad you brought that up.
I can
up.
Easily see that.
But now I'm back to loving Carrie Underwood.
Oh, okay.
Because the reality is that was a false report.
Wait, you were being a hater?
I was mad at her. I was like, come on, you don't need to be taking
oh, that wasn't a real That's report?
Wasn't a real report.
Oh, I thought that was real.
Fake news.
Damn.
Well, I appreciate you doing the investigative journalism here on John Lopez Finds Out.
My middle name, you can just say Pablo now. Anyway, instead of Philip. No, look, she was on Howard Stern and said that she basically does it pro bono. So she probably gets a little something, but basically free. So how can you not love Carrie Underwood now?
Because I still think I don't like the song. Shout out to Carrie Underwood.
Maybe that's why you don't like the song, because she ain't getting nothing for it. Mm-hmm. So she might as well half-ass
it. If they put some money on it, it'd be better.
She's doing it for the people, man. She's doing it for the people.
Now, she had a feature with Brad Paisley or something, it'd probably be a lot better.
Can I ask you, though, in the same vein, because you were one who was not really big on the Sunday Night Football. I do wonder
on her, on the not theme. The theme, yeah.
The theme, yeah. The general theme. You like her. You love her, in fact.
Yeah.
Does it change your mind? Because weirdly enough, I found out this week, that was composed by John Williams.
The Sunday Night theme?
Yeah.
He's the best. He's the best. No, I don't like it. I mean, everybody has a bad day.
I was just wondering. I don't expect you to say it then, because I imagine that make you look bad. Yeah. But sometimes finding out, they're like, huh. That's
John
somebody
Williams,
I respect
I
that did
greatest,
that. Maybe I need to think about it again.
Side note, John Williams did the greatest Olympic theme ever. Remember his Olympic theme?
I don't. I'm going to need to go find it.
We'll move on, yeah. But yeah, great.
All right, so I've been pretty... I love Amen Thompson. I think that's obvious, and that's something that needs to be said up front. But I've been pretty skeptical about the jump that he can make just for this year, shooting-wise. Because that's one of the things. It's like, oh, man, if Amen can like start shooting...
Yeah.
What does this look like? It's canceled Christmas. And yes, that is true. However, Amen Thompson last year was a 27% three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. Let's round that up to 28% three-point shooter, which was bad 20 years ago and is worse this now. And then you also look at free throw shooting percentage, which should give you some like indication of what that person is just generally as a shooter, and he was a 68% free throw per shooter, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know how much of a jump you can make, even if he gets better, how good can he be?
Mm-hmm.
I take you to Aaron Gordon, and the confession is, Aaron Gordon is making me believe a little bit that this could happen. I'm am I being a fool for this? Because the year prior to last season, Aaron Gordon plays with the Nuggets. He shot a robust 29% from three.
That's not great.
Last year, he shot 44% damn near on higher volume from three. He changed that dynamic. And in addition to that, he went from shooting 66% from the free throw line to 81% from the free throw line. Now, this is like the one of the biggest jumps that you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just going
to
say.
But for me, I go from this is impossible to I've seen it happen. It's maybe improbable. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, huh.
I think
I've opened myself up to the possibility now.
Oh, no, it happens. We talk about it. You know, it happens in every sport where somebody can make that leap. I kind of want to see it.
Is it
because it's not everybody?
Am I doing
that.
Josh Allen? He's got a big arm, and I can fix the accuracy.
Oh yeah, that's a good comparison. Kind of want to see it.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I was like, I think I'm getting over my skis, but the confession is, I think I'm starting to believe just a little bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got to confess, I think I got in a little bit of a situation earlier this morning. So I'm driving to work. Well, actually, about to drop my wife off at work and then come to work. And I was at a light, and it was only, I want to say it was just like one lane.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing this, I want to say, construction on Washington.
Okay. So,
over there.
Oh,
somewhere.
I know where you're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that right by your house?
It's right up the street by the CVS.
And where's your house again?
Off of Washington, kind of.
Yeah, address. Florida,
maybe.
Address. No. But
I almost got him. One of these days, yeah. I'm going to get him, and then we're going to have to dump it.
So we had a light, and I'm right behind the cop. The light turned green. The cop is still just sitting there.
Tap your horn, man.
See, that's
cop, a confession. No,
I remember when I was a
kid. Trying to get fig in trouble?
No, see, and I got a story about this, too, because I remember when I was a kid, I remember this older guy was telling us how he had honked his horn at a cop because the light was green and he wasn't going. And the cop threw his lights on. The guy at the car said, "Don't you ever honk your
horn
at me." Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that the cop gave him a ticket. And I was like, is that illegal?
No, he got out pretty much cussing him out. Don't you ever honk your horn at me.
Wow.
I don't know how he honked the horn. I don't know if it's a little polite tap or.
You got to, yeah, just a tap.
Why don't we have two? Like, I
was,
like we should
I was
have
scared
the
to do
horn.
It, man. Mm-hmm. So I sat there the whole time. The light turned yellow. He took off.
Oh,
so I was
God,
stuck.
That's
I was
worse.
Stuck at the light again. So I'm just like, man, it was. I didn't want to chance it, man. I could have easily been. Doo-doo.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to chance it. I don't know. I don't know.
You probably made the right call.
I'm sure we got some cops out there that's listening. Is it polite to do a little tap? Because I'm sure the cop was probably on his phone
just
or something.
Like everybody else.
Yeah. So. He wasn't doing anything. I'm sitting there looking around like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then the light turned yellow.
I wonder also what our listeners would have done. Cop in front of you, not going when the light turns green. Do you tap or do you not tap?
Do you just sit there like a punk?
Yeah.
Like, and just sit.
Well.
If it was anybody else.
Of course.
Beep, your ass. Come on. With that cop, I was just like, well, wonder what's going on around here.
Yeah.
I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we have two horn sounds, though? Like, we should have the normal one that's like, hey, I'm basically cussing you out. We should have one that's like, hey, excuse me.
The reminder.
Hey, ma'am.
It should sound like the bell.
Ding. Yeah, just hello, friend. We need you to move.
Yeah, something like that. All right, tell me I'm not crazy. So we've established, and we talked about this already today, I am much more confident in Jason Alexander over Fromber.
I think most people are with you.
Most
there.
People yeah. are, and we gave out the numbers since July. It's not even a comparison. I think Jason Alexander, if I remember correctly, is like 5-1 over that span.
Three and oh, and
the team is 7-0. Meanwhile, Fromber is 1-5 since the end of July, and the team is 1-6 with a 5.95 ERA. So we established I'm more confident, as a lot of people are, in Jason Alexander over Fromber Valdez. My confession is, I think I'm more confident in AJ Bluebaugh too.
I
gotta look at his splits.
That's a little bit of a stretch for
me. That's why AJ Bluebaugh.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I always say it, you can't help how you feel.
Yeah,
you can say whatever you want.
It's kind of where we are. To
this
be
is
honest.
True. That is true. You know, you can give these hot takes and strong opinions and weak opinions and all that, but when you sit down and watch a game, you only feel a certain way. You can't help it. You know, say that.
When
I watched AJ Bluebaugh pitch, I was like, cool. The next time I watch Fromber pitch, I'm gonna be, oh my god, you know what's coming.
Do you feel like Jason Alexander kind of made his mark for next year to be in a rotation?
He made his mark if they get to the postseason. And by the way, I think Bluebaugh should take Luis Garcia's spot.
Wow. So you're just throwing all the takes in here.
Well, he's been a starter. You know,
he has been a starter.
And he's been good.
But, and look, this is not, he's had one game as a starter as well. So, like, it was that.
Well, what I'm saying is he's been a starter. He knows how to start games. Yeah.
In his three relief games, 3.60 ERA. It's not been bad, and he really acquitted himself incredibly well a couple nights ago. So I see what you're going for. I can't get there, but I've appreciated him, and it's nice to – well,
again,
I
can't help how I feel. When I watched him pitch and watch him pitch versus Fromber right now, I have more confidence in Bluebaugh.
And the sad part is I can't call you crazy.
Yeah.
I want to call you crazy so bad.
Mm-hmm. It sounds crazy, but it's not crazy.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. Alexander and Bluebaugh are pitching like they want to be there. Fromber is pitching like he has to be there, says Rob.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
That's not a terrible way. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sean deeming him the senior at his pitcher right now, because that does feel accurate as well. All right, that's a little lunchtime confessions as you're used to getting here in the loop. Coming up next, it's the Thursday, so we've got to do some buy or sell. Are you buying what these various people in sports are trying to sell you? 713-572-4610. We'll do it next on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What happened?
I said I have more confidence. You can't help how you feel. And I have more confidence in Bluebaugh over Fromber. Somebody said, what about Chaz?
When he comes back up to the Major League squad, he might have more belief there as well. That's a little bit wild. But shout out to Chaz for holding it down when he's had to as well. All right. It's Thursday. 12:40. Let's do a little buy or sell. Are you buying what these various folks in sports are selling? It's one of my favorite things to do in the week. John Lopez.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's start local, as we like to do, if they say something that may or may not be buyable, so to speak. So purchasable, whatever you want to call it. Joe Espada said he did not know more than he did not know any more than elbow discomfort regarding Luis Garcia. He also said, hopefully he can work his way back.
And this was immediately after the game, wasn't it?
Well, the second part was yesterday.
I actually will buy that. I feel like when some of those injuries happen, especially in the midst of a game, the medical staff will keep it kind of quick, unless it's like we know exactly what's popping. Like, all right, well, this is generally what we're thinking real quick. So that the manager stays in his situation or the coach stays in their situation. So I can believe after the game that he hadn't had as much information. Plus, low-hanging fruit, who knows if the medical staff knew what was happening.
Yeah, they might not have known.
But
he might be telling the truth.
I'll buy it here. But the thing that I think you're getting to is, even if he did know, he's not going to give us too much right now, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm buying the first part you said. His second part, when he said, hopefully you could get him back soon. Mm-hmm. I think in his mind, he probably, I don't think he believes that for real, man. I think he probably just being nice there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that was not a good sign.
No, and I'm actually going to sell both parts of this.
Okay.
Not because he necessarily was given an immediate MRI right after the game. That's impossible, you know, the results. But I think when you talk to people who were there and see the interviews.
That's true.
The locker room knew. The entire clubhouse knew.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that they were despondent. They were despondent on during the game. I mean, they knew what happened.
Plus, you know? I think yeah. without it, you're right. Like, they knew.
I think did anybody cry? 713-572-4660.
Did you see at the game?
Good God. I think also it's worth noting, and I don't know why I didn't mention this the first time around, is you could just use his own face.
Yes.
It wasn't like a, ooh, I don't want to chance it look. At least as I'm interpreting it, and you guys could tell me if you think I'm wrong, when he gives that, oh, no, I'm not going, it wasn't like a, I don't want a chance. It was a,
come on out here.
He kind of gave that look. You know, if you ever try to fix something and you know it's broke, and you just try to double check that last time, like,
gone.
It's dead. It ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. You buying or selling this? D'Amico Ryans. And this is the word of the week has been lollygagging in Houston this week. But this was around the lollygagging discussion and the whole part about it's me, the leadership and all that. But he said this regarding the perceived, you know, lack of focus, whatever it was during the week of practice. It's not about me having to talk about a particular player.
Oh, yeah. This was in the context of like the guys that are the emotional leaders.
That maybe weren't having the best practices and the leadership and all that. But he said, it's not about me having to talk to a particular player.
Ooh, okay. I think I get where you're going here. This is tough because I actually, when he said that, I didn't know where to go with it. Figgy, do you have a beat on this?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. Can you try to explain a little?
See, because they were talking about the.
Yeah, it started with the emotional leader, Aziz being that.
Actually, the quote before this was the one where he said, you know, it's not everybody, you know, may or may not have.
Okay. That was more to the lollygagging. You're right.
To the lollygagging. And he said, it's not about me having to talk to a particular player. And I'll lead since y'all are thinking about it.
I think I'll buy that, actually.
I think he has to talk to a particular player. I think, because he did say, it's me. It's on me. We'll fix this, is what he said. Yeah. I mean, if somebody is not having the practice that you expect them or want them to have, you have to talk
but
to them.
Do it seem like, because I'm trying to remember how the questions were asked, because I think they were asking about like the vocal leader.
That was a two-parter. Yeah, but this was about the actual practice part.
And CJ's, you know, his statement after the game talking about like, you know, maybe not having the best practice. And I get where you're coming from. Yeah. And actually, you know what? I think you flipped me. Mm-hmm. I think this is a sell because I think in theory I go by because it seems like D'Amico Ryans is approach is you guys are adults.
Yeah,
I'm treating you as adults. I'm going to set the standard, and it is upon you to meet the standard.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question though is if that has been the approach, and in week one they haven't met the standard. Yeah. I think that there needs to be a little bit of conversation with some folks about, hey, guys, I'm treating you like adults. I'm not going to treat you like children, but we're going to need to have a heart to heart to make sure that we're on the same page. Because why is it that the first time out, we're not meeting the level?
Yeah, I'll roll with y'all on this one. Yeah. I sell it too.
All right, Brian Callahan, Tennessee Titans coach. An elbow does not equal 2 feet, according to him. He said that he misinterpreted the rule, and then he said that he misspoke, quote, I'm well aware of the rule.
I'm selling it. And I don't. This is one of those times where I can easily get up here and say what you should have done. I know that none of them are preferable, and I will also even go the further. I wouldn't have given them the benefit of the doubt if he did the thing that I think is the most right, which is, hey, you gotta own it.
That's exactly right.
Dominic Foxworth played in the NFL. He works for ESPN. I think he says something that I always appreciate, which is accountability plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, put your hand up. My bad. Mm-hmm. And especially from a coach, from a leadership, because you're so used to in the football space and a lot of other spaces that the hierarchy, the authority there is always going to be, it's always going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a little bit further by going, all right, I'm human and I'll acknowledge that I made a mistake here. We, the general media and the people outside, we're not going to give him a lot of leeway there, but I think he would have earned a little something from his team if he goes, you know what? You're right. I missed that.
I'm dumb.
I did not realize that.
I screwed up.
But now I know, yeah. And it won't happen again. Yeah. And so trying to come back and like, no, I knew. I just forgot. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't think it plays.
Yeah, I'm selling it too. I felt like he would have been better off just being honest. Hell, I think David Culley kind of went through something like that.
Yeah.
Here where he, I guess later on in the week, he ended up talking about how he, that was my bad. I messed up on that one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was this play, but it was that play. So, it ain't going to look good regardless, but at least you being honest.
And the thing that sucks about accountability, though, is if you're honest and it keeps happening, it don't matter how honest you are, dog. You got to get this right eventually.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing just scrambled his brain. I mean, he said, I misinterpreted. Then he said, I misspoke. Then he said, I'm well aware of the rule. That's three options. You know, so
one of those will be right eventually.
He just dropped the ball on throwing the challenge flag. That's all it was.
Yeah, so I'm selling. All right, these next two have a little audio element to it because the audio makes it very, very funny to me and frustrating in a way, too. So Billy Napier, Florida coach, about a minute left in the game, had two timeouts left. They ultimately lost to South Florida because South Florida kicked a game-winning field goal, and Florida never had a chance to maybe head down the field and kick their own field goal. So he was asked about it.
They were able to hold for the game-winning field goal. Was there a thought about trying to burn some time out sooner? Or how did you kind of view the clock management there in the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, well, we had two, right? So ultimately at that point, there's going to be a field goal kicked. They have one, right? So they had an extra down. So regardless of when the timeouts get called, it's going to end up about the same.
It's going to end up – no, you'll have more time.
Billy, you're in danger, buddy. You are in danger because you're right on the substance. I'm glad you play the audio because I can actually just get away from the audio. You don't sound like a leader right now.
No, he sounds awful.
Yeah.
And I want to acknowledge, I'm not just saying that in a generic sense because that feels kind of nonsensical to me at some points. However, the problem is, and we talked about this with Bill Belichick, I don't think we talked about it on air, but when we're talking about college football, appearances matter so much.
Yeah.
Appearances matter so much, especially at you're at the flagship institution of a state, and there's so much money tied up in this. And decision makers are not just the your bosses, but your unofficial
you have to
bosses.
Look like a general.
In the boosters.
You have to look, like you got it.
You have to command the belief of those people. And he didn't even sound like he was saying that with conviction. Mm-hmm. And that is the scary part, especially when your program isn't doing the good thing.
It sounded like that was the last game of the season. And he knows it's over.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Well, it might have been. Well, not this week, but.
No, it sounded like it was, this is over. This is my last press conference with y'all.
And then just the basic element of, well, the time would have been about the same. No, you had two timeouts.
Yeah.
That's
it would not
have
been the same.
That
stops
the clock. It does.
Wait, do you remember who Florida's playing this week?
Florida's playing who?
As one recruit once said, they are playing at the University of LSU.
Oh, that's right. Florida LSU. Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to have the sappy college football theme tomorrow. That's one that's definitely on the docket. All right. How about this one? Our guy, Jim Harbaugh. You love him. You laugh at him.
Yeah,
your guy, Finn.
Not my guy.
Jim Harbaugh, Michigan legend.
How did he leave Michigan?
Well, I guess with a national championship right here
in
Houston.
Scrambling now.
But he was asked about Justin Herbert's toughness. It just made me laugh.
And a huge hit on Justin. The kind of hit that would have killed a lesser man. That's how big that hit was.
Clearly, I'm selling it, but you know what?
The kind of hit that would have killed a lesser man.
I'm buying it. Hype up your quarterback, coach. That's what I want to hear a quarterback hype up or a coach hype up their quarterback. You remember the time where this is the thing that Jim Harbaugh does the best, which is just be folksy. Like, you remember the time that he was like, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, we got to win this guy a Super Bowl. And I'm like, that's the kind of coach I want. Somebody who's just going to say absurd things that I know he's lying about that sounds good.
I'm selling this. Man.
It would have killed a lesser man.
Yeah,
nobody's talking about quarterback.
Yeah, it made me want to go back and look at the hit.
I know.
Like, let me compare this hit to other hits in NFL history.
By the way, speaking of hits, and speaking of the clip that you can watch over and over, and speaking of the Cowboys working out a certain gentleman, you remember that South Carolina hit by Jadeveon Clowney?
Yep.
Yeah.
Run that over and over for
that's
me, please.
Oh, that's great.
That's a good one.
That ties the whole show together right there. Come on, man. A lesser man would have been dead on the field.
Dead.
Dead on the field. All right, one more for you. We all have been following here and there the Kawhi Leonard, Clippers, Steve Ballmer thing. Steve Ballmer said, I don't know why they did what they did. I really don't. Talking about the paying him out of the, I guess it wasn't even a skeleton company. It was just sort of they circumvented the salary cap. Salary cap. He said, I don't know why they did what they did. I really don't.
So, and shout out to Pablo Torre because he will get us the reasons why they did what they did and how Steve Ballmer knew
it. He probably already got the reasons.
He really has.
He's just waiting to drop.
Yeah.
He might have already. I need to go and actually watch his latest, the fullness of his latest podcast because he drops the whole hour and he goes through all the details of it. It seems like, Steve, you're cooked on this one. I do wonder, is Pablo Torre going to reach Don Van Atta status in being the feds? Where like
he's there
because Don Van Atta, but when he comes ask you stuff, just know he already knows you probably should fess up or it's going to make you look bad. Yeah. It feels like Pablo Torre is becoming when he puts that first episode, go ahead and confess because the second one's coming with all the info.
He do a really good job with that podcast too, man. I watched the one with Mark Cuban, and I like how just in the middle of a conversation he just put up the little Pokemon graphic from the Game Boy game, and like before we move on, this is what really happened. So I did it. It just like paused the whole video just to kind of explain the context to it before they get back. Hey, it's really good.
He's something. Pablo Torre doesn't sleep. He waits.
Is that a Chuck Norris meme that you're doing?
Yeah, it's a Chuck Norris thing.
God. I thought we had left those in years past, but there you go. You get a little bit of that and you're buy or sell here in the loop. All right. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Thursday. Coming up next, let's talk about the Texans one more game. We're getting ready for, obviously, week two, Monday night versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you could only have one, because it's Sports Talk Radio, what is the single thing that the Texans would need to do better in order to get a victory on Monday? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 610.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.